Now, I was never one to doubt anything an Indian told me. Folks would say they were superstitious and all, but behind most of what they believed there was good common sense. I know one time down Mexico way, Indians told me they would never go near a certain place because there were evil spirits around. Come to find out, there'd been a smallpox epidemic there, and that was the Indian way of quarantining the place. They thought evil spirits had caused the smallpox. Well, maybe there was something odd about that Box Canyon, too. After I found Mim's horses, he had four of them, two pack animals and a spare saddle horse, I went back to the fire and drank some more coffee, then let the flames die down to the coals. Then, when it was fairly dark, I moved my bed back into the darkest shadows, where I could see the old man in the firelit space, and where I'd be unseen by anybody scouting the camp. Several times during the night I awakened, and each time I lay listening into the night. Finally, near daybreak, I decided not to go back to sleep. Many a night before this, I had stayed awake for hours. For in my kind of life, a man never knew when he would have to come up shooting. A long time I lay there thinking of other nights in other places when I'd stayed awake listening to the night sounds. It wasn't much of a life, being on the dodge all the time. After a while, I began to hear something. At first, it wasn't really a clear sound. Only of a sudden, my ears seemed to sharpen. But something was moving out there. Something that made no sound I could rightly make out. I looked toward the fire. A few red coals still glowed there, and Harry Mims, wrapped in two blankets and a ground sheet, lay dark and silent beside the fire. I could hear his faint breathing. I reached out with my left hand and took up the edge of the blanket that covered me and put it back carefully. The moccasins I always had with me were close by. Holding my pistol in my right hand, I picked up the moccasins with my left and eased my feet into them. Picking up a small stone, I tossed it at Mims. It struck his shoulder, and his breathing seemed to stop. Then it went on again. Was he awake? I had a hunch he was. Awake and as ready as a body in his shape could be. All was quiet, yet with a different sort of quiet now. In the area north of our camp, even the night sounds had stopped. Then I heard a faint whisper. The sort of sound a branch can make scraping the side of a man's jeans. Somebody was approaching. Perhaps more than one. I came smoothly and silently to my feet and took a careful step backward, where I was nearer the tree and partly shielded by its branches. Now, even if my bed was seen, I myself was blended into the darkness of the tree. That gun felt good in my hand, but suddenly I put it back in its holster and drew my knife. A knife was better for quiet work. In close.